Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, gods and goddesses, to the Golden Age Gurus Podcast, your source for regenerative, entrepreneurial, and eco-friendly global solutions using ancient future strategies that focus on healing ourselves, our community, and the planet. Now, it is truly an honor to introduce your host, Baba John.
Greetings and welcome to my permacast. Today we're having Alexandra Danielli on, who's going to talk about human design, which is a human operating system. Basically, a guy named Ra got a transmission and combined different things like astrology and the Book of Changes, I Ching, which is a couple thousand year old divination tool. That's Chinese. First, I was skeptical, but the more I get into it, the more I learn, the more I'm on board. So I thought I would have her on to talk about the basics. So I hope you benefit from learning how to live your best life and how to optimize your own personal blueprint so that you can create the most abundance and joy in your life. So that's the purpose of today's show. I wanted to mention that the first weekend of July, we're going to be doing inaugural ceremonies for my nature-based ministry and temple. And we'll be doing initiations out there. Baba Falakun, who's written a lot of books about the subject, will be doing the initiations. He has permission from the king of Ile Ife in Nigeria. So, you know, we're going to be doing yoga and Kambo and herb baths and initiations and consecrating some shrines and some and the temple. So if you feel inclined to join, check out my email in the show notes and contact me or the show, and we'll get you registered. So other than that, welcome to today's show, and I hope you benefit from the content. This show is brought to you on Patreon, where creators are supported by their tribe. For the cost of a latte, you can support the show and my advocacy around fringe legal topics ranging from zero waste in Bitcoin to matters of spirit. I'm committed to serving mankind by providing thousands of years of ancestral wisdom. Learn from my gurus, join my network, and get exclusive content. We have a free tier so you don't have to worry about money, a support tier for just a few bucks, and an apprentice level for aspiring Jedi interested in my mystery school and nature-based ministry. We have a VIP business tier for CEOs who want their own wizard. Just remember, King Arthur had a Merlin and Queen Elizabeth had her John Dee. Historically, I've charged way more as a consultant, but while I wrap my last year of law school, I'm willing to help just to get this new platform going. You'll have access to me with the Voxer app and get access to the Advocacy Launchpad and Discord. Sponsorship is sold separate. If you're interested, message and visit patreon.com, patreon.com/Golden Age Gurus. Follow for free and support if you can. Welcome to the show, Alexandra.
So how did you get into human design?
First, thanks for having me on. And how did I get into human design? That's I was part of a 1 year coaching container, and I'd never heard of human design, and everyone was talking about it and how it had changed their lives and how they were operating in business. And then I looked up what my human design was and started reading about, and I'm a 1-3 projector, self-projected, and I started reading about it and just the most basics of what it meant, and everything started clicking together of why I was not successful in my business the way that other coaching programs or society wanted to prescribe of how to do business and how to become successful and why none of that had worked for me. And everything just started making immediate sense. And and so immediately there was like this knowing of this is true for me. This is how I should operate if I want to like be in my truest alignment. So that's how I came about human design. And then I immediately recommended it to everyone who wanted to or not wanted to hear about it.
So how many years were you coaching before you found this tool?
I had a couple of different coaching approaches. So I'm really into gut health, and I've had a lot of issues with that with myself and my family. So I was really attached to that. So I learned, I studied to become a gut health coach. So I did that. And then I realized that everyone who I couldn't help with nutrition and supplements in my gut health program had deeper underlying emotional issues. So I wanted to get more to the root, which is why I then learned an emotional release technique. And I wanted to work with people more on that layer of their being, of emotional release. So I was probably a coach for 2 years before I learned about human design. And then finally it found me. So I was grateful for that, because none of these sales techniques that I'd been doing until then did anything much for me or my business.
Yeah, so that's one of the aspects of the projector is we're not supposed to be doing the marketing like other types.
I had to learn that really the hard way. And the way how my chart is set up is a lot through deep studying and foundational knowledge, and then combining that with experimenting and gathering experience. So I did that over years, and combining then what I was learning about being a projector and about human design, and then kind of developing my own approach of what I like to call transformational marketing. Because what we're meant to do as projectors is we're meant to invite people into our experience. And also one of our big purposes is to guide people. So guiding their energy, whatever that means in the spectrum of the context, right? But when we use transformational marketing as opposed to convincing or pain point marketing, and we're helping the client already transform through the marketing and sales process, we're giving them a sense of our style of guidance. And so it makes it really easy for them to recognize us and then invite us to guide them. So that's kind of how the short way of putting what I've been putting together for the last 2 or 3 years. But yeah, there's just hard to find something out there just specifically tailored to how projectors do business. And so, yeah, I had to do it myself.
So I guess what I hear is projectors have only been like on the planet for 200 years or something like that. Like, we're a new kind of human. Is that correct?
Yeah, well, the thing that I want to say about the chart is, well, when you first get into human design, you use your birth data. So you're pulling up a chart, and the chart is very complex. So it might be more than we can bring across in this episode, but there's a couple of really good websites. I personally like freehumandesignchart.com because that's from my teacher. But there are so many other websites where you can pull your free chart. And the chart is not who you are, because you are so much more than just a chart, right? Or Myers-Briggs test or whatever you're doing. But the chart shows you how to operate. And every type, there are 5 types of human design, and projector being one of them. That's the type you and I are. Every type has a different theme of, I want to say success, but that's the specific one for projectors. So our, when we're in our highest expression as projectors, we are feeling successful. And when we're not, we're feeling bitter. So every type has these two opposing indicators of when we're in our highest expression and or in our low expression. So the chart, depending on what type you are, will show you how to feel successful in our case, how to become successful through feeling successful. And it will show you when you're off track, of you're out of your best mode of operation, when you're feeling bitter. So for a generator type, for example, that is someone who has a sacral center defined, it will be satisfaction and frustration. And when you listen to your chart and when you learn how to read it and follow it so that you can become your highest self, you then learn how to operate so that you can feel satisfied with your work, for example, or you can feel successful. And that will also then bring the success in the outer world really seamlessly, if that makes sense.
Yeah, so when you tap into yourself, then you're more satisfied the more you become who you're supposed to be, I guess. And it's kind of a map for you, you know. But you said you use freehumandesignecharts.com?
Yeah, I think no S. There's also mybodygraph.com. There's a few different ones. But freehumandesignchart.com, that's the one that my teacher, Karen Curry Parker, put together. And I like her approach to human design because it's very positive language oriented. Because a lot of the traditional or classic or original human design can be a lot more of this like struggle-based language, because then you use that a bunch and you keep reinforcing the brain pathways to tell you, for example, that you have the gate of struggle or the channel of struggle. That kind of like feels like you could be a little stuck. So I like her approach. And also on her website, when you pull your chart there, it adds the detail of the Chiron, which isn't a planet, but a planetoid. So it doesn't activate a gate in your chart, but it shows you your wounded healer, which is always great information to have, I think. So that's why I always like her charts on that freehumandesignchart.com.
Well, wounded healer, that's definitely applicable.
Yeah, that's good info to have, because that one will come back again and again.
So how does this differ? I mean, I'm sure you've used things like the Myers-Briggs test. I know a lot of companies use that to figure out team members and how they should work as a team. How does this compare to the other systems out there? Like another one would be Wealth Dynamics. I've used some.
Well, the thing with anything where you have to answer a question, it just basically asks you for your level of consciousness and awareness on that day where you're answering those questions, right? And for someone like me, I've always been like a super fast shifter. If I didn't want to be something or do something anymore, I wouldn't wait till New Year's Eve or New Year's Day to change it. I do these things very fast. So I've been so many versions of me in my life already. So if I take a Myers-Briggs test every week and be someone different, right? So you don't get to that core. You get more of like the layers of your current consciousness, which you can always alter by your decisions, by being coached, by transcendental experiences that you might have. But when you're working with something like astrology or human design, you are working with a blueprint that you are carrying, which helps you how to figure out what's the most aligned way for you to operate, that you can always deepen into. And it has nothing to do with, you know, how your understanding is of yourself, of the day. It's more like, how are you coded? And it's so much more helpful to me because I know that I can change my awareness and my consciousness super fast. And when I read a question for a test, like one of these tests, for example, Myers-Briggs, I can already see behind the psychology of why they're asking that. And then my consciousness or my awareness already changes my answer to what I would rather have it be, right? So it's never quite honest, I feel like.
So how can we articulate the benefits for entrepreneurs or business, you know, people in general? Like, what you said, learn how to operate so you can feel satisfied with your work. That's what I wrote down.
Yeah, well, for every type, this will be slightly different. And every chart has so many more aspects to it than just the type. But what human design helps a person do is it connects them with the intuition that is going to make them make the right decisions for them. And I think what so many people are struggling with, or why so many people are struggling in their businesses, is because society has taught us over time that we should make decisions from our mind or from our logic, where the mind is just a programmable computer and you try to give it the reins of life and it can't, because it can go any way. You give it, it's like a scientific experiment, right? Depending on who runs the experiment, if it, like a pharmaceutical company runs a scientific experiment, they're going, the outcomes are going to be in favor of them, right? So a brain can go either way. It can go pro this side, it can go pro that side, but it can't ever be the driver of the most aligned decisions for anyone. And a few years ago, when I had a one-on-one coach that I was working with, and her, she's also on the south coast of Texas, so it's funny. Her dad was always really successful in business. And she was telling the story of when people asked him why he was so successful, he would always say, I'm not the smartest guy. And what I do different is I listen and I feel. And this was such a remarkable quote for me to remember, because how human design teaches us to make decisions that are in line with us and that really bring us success or satisfaction or the deep feeling of peace that we have accomplished what we want to accomplish, then we want to make decisions somewhere from the truth of our bodies. And that's what human design really teaches us. And for everyone, that's slightly different. And when you make those decisions, that's the decisions that get you out of your conditioning, that get you out of your comfort zone, that bring you into where you are uniquely living and living your potential and your gifts and your purpose. And that's where every business becomes non-competitive, where you just don't have competition anymore, because you are following your own drum through how your chart is showing you how to operate. And I find that so fascinating and so much more helpful.
So how can people utilize us projectors? Like how can the, because projectors are the minority. I think reflectors are the most minority, right? Like they're like 1% of the population, and
yeah,
we're like 15% or something, and the rest are generating.
Yeah, so there's a split up of these five types. Like you said, reflectors, who are here to reflect like the health of society or their unique group that they're in, environment that they're in, they're less than 1%. They don't have any centers defined. Then the second most rarest types are the manifestors. They are 9%. ish of society, they're really here to initiate people into a new way of being and use their voice for it. They have a very deep they're very deeply connected to creativity and to purpose in that way. And yeah, there's like, we could do a whole episode on each type. Then 20% of society, that's us, that's projectors. We're here mostly to guide people into a new way of working more efficiently, more effectively, helping people tap more into doing what they love, helping people find more of a, like, using their energy to live a better life quality as opposed to just chasing after after money, for example, or status symbols that will never get them satisfied or happy either. So we are, our work is more sharing our wisdom, sharing our guidance, and being the example. And then the rest of the percentage is divided between manifesting generators and generators, who both have a defined sacral. So they have consistent energy to build into the physical world what basically the other types are either reflecting onto them or initiating them into or guiding them to. So they're our builders. They have like, they have the constant energy to really put this into form, if that makes sense.
Is a manifesting generator different from a generator?
Yes, a generator has the sacral defined, and a manifesting generator has a sacral defined and a motor to the throat. So there are four centers in the chart that are a motor center. And if any of these are connected to the throat center, that makes, in combination with a sacral defined, that makes them a manifesting generator. So their purpose is slightly different. They're here more for creating shortcuts and making things happen for society in a faster way.
Beautiful. So these profiles with the numbers, there's six different profiles, right?
Yes. I mean, there's six different profile numbers, but they can be combined in multiple ways.
So you're a 1-3, right?
Yes.
1-3 projector, and I'm a 4-6.
Oh, cool. My son is a 4-6 as well.
Is he a splenic projector?
No, he's a manifesting generator, emotional.
Okay. So these profiles, what function do they play?
So the profile is going to show you a lot more about also like how you're meant, like how you're likely to operate. So for me, for example, like every line, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, each one of them has a different energy to it. So the one line, for example, that I have, as I said before, it's a lot about creating a foundational base of knowledge. It could be through introspection and self-research, but it could also be through studying, researching. Like people with a one line, they usually love to study whatever is in line with their purpose or, you know, with their gifts. What all the things that interest them, you're going to soak them up like crazy. And then you combine that with your other number. And oftentimes these two numbers are opposing kind of energies. So like I said, my one line, for example, is all about studying. It's about introspection. And then my three line is all about experimenting, experiencing, going out there in the real world. But it's also a very adventurous and like I like to sometimes call it the party line, which makes me like go out there kind of person. So that's kind of very different energies, right? The one line makes me kind of be a study at home introspective person, and the three line go out there and party. So it's kind of neat because I feel like that's the first point in the human design chart where you get to connect with two different pieces inside of you, and really starting to allow yourself to be multiple things, because oftentimes people are like, am I an introvert or an extrovert, right? Good news is you can be both, right? Depends on the situation and what you have done the day before oftentimes. And these lines just show you how you're meant to operate. So a 4-6, for example, 4 is all about finding your opportunities that you have within community, or letting your community really know how you care about them. And it's all about being very community oriented, but it's also very like kind of the opposite of my 3 line, because the 4 line wants to know that they're safe before they jump. So, and then the 6 line that you have, this is more of the energy of the role model, but also it includes a lot of experimentation and experiences, and is in many ways similar to my 3 line until they become more wise and more role model-y. So that can kind of feel in opposition to each other too, right? If you feel like the 4 line more like, I need to be safe before I jump, and then the 6 line, let's experiment and experience and like jump and try this out. I would be curious how that resonates in your life and how you've experienced those two opposing each other.
Yeah, I think it's just maturing. So apparently I'm getting off the roof. Huh. I don't really know what that means. But maybe you could tell me, because I don't remember. But yeah, when I hit 50, I guess I'm supposed to go into that role model mode. So I'm you know, right now I'm preparing to be the guide, you know. Like, I'm already the guide, but I'm gonna be an elder here shortly, you know. My beard's starting to get gray and stuff.
Aww.
So you know, like it's a process of aging, maturing from what I can tell. And I had to go out there and get my butt whooped and fail, you know, and, yeah. You know, I had some wins and some losses, but, the losses sometimes teach you more than the wins. So
totally.
It's it's a process of maturing and going into my role model mode, but supposedly that's, you know, I still got a couple of years till that happens. But how do you define the roof thing for projectors?
Yeah, I was just gonna say more about this too, because if you have a 6 line in your profile. So that could be a 6-2 or 3-6, 6-3, 4-6. You have that 6 line is a very visionary energy. So even like 6 line kids, they come out with incredibly wise things they're saying from an early age. There's kind of like wisdom is bred into you, or you come with that automatically if you have a 6 line. And then the other interesting thing about the 6 line is it's the only profile line that has a 3-stage process, like you just said, on the roof. What does that mean, right? So how they're splitting that up in human design is the first 30 years roughly of your life, the 6 line behaves like a 3 line, like my experience line. So you're going to go do all the things. Your parents tell you not to touch the stove with your fingers because it's hot, and you're like, I got to try that out, how it feels for myself, right? So you go do all the wacky things the first 30 years of your life. You try everything out. Then from 30 to 50, which is what you're referring to right now, is the on the roof phase, which is where you're more like starting to make sense of what you did. So first 30 years is more like gathering information through your trial and error. Then 30 through 50, you're gaining even more wisdom through your personal experience of what those first 30 years meant and all the things. And things are starting to click more. It's like, oh, this is why that happened. And you're going to go more into your own inner healing. And like you said, you can already be the guide, but it's just it's just a different energy of guiding, right? You're guiding from the energy of like, yeah, I'm going through this with you, right? And you can, like, a lot of people, when they hear they have a six line and there's this thing of like, they can only be a role model after 50, that's complete bullshit, right? Because Barack Obama was he's a 6'2" projector. He was a president while he was in this stage of his life between 30 and 50 on the roof. So he guided very effectively for some, and some will say he didn't, but that's a politics issue. But he was incredibly successful during that stage of his life. And now that he's over 50, he's more like this wise, lean back, kind of like, I'm just doing a podcast with Bruce Springsteen and we're going to talk about fun things, you know, kind of person. And, you know, just like you said, more like seen as the wise elder. So that's what's supposed to happen after. And it's not like 50 on the dot. It's like it's a process you're progressing more toward all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, it's also been a experience, because you said you come with some information, and like, you can't force that information like on people. So that's probably been my biggest struggle, is having some information that could help someone or something or the scenario. And it's almost kind of weird. Because if I deliver the information the wrong way or at all, then I can invite, you know, adversity, you know.
Exactly. And this is when it's so helpful to know what type you are, because every type has a different strategy. And so for us projectors, the strategy is to wait for the invitation. So we cannot guide anyone if we weren't invited. And that's why so many of us get bitter, because we didn't know about this. And then we share, and then we want to help people and guide them or give them advice. You know, guiding is just basically another term for giving advice. And it doesn't land very well because we were never invited. Whereas someone like a manifestor, who doesn't have to wait for the invitation and is just here to inform, and who has a motor to the throat, they can tell you anything at all times. And usually it lands very differently. And once you get more into this and you know types and you know people of all types and why what they're saying comes across very differently when you say it versus when they say it, right? Then it all starts making so much more sense.
Yeah, it's a rabbit hole. It's pretty difficult. So, you know, we need all the tools that we can muster. I also wanted to ask you about this incarnation cross stuff, because I don't comprehend it, but my chart says I have the right angle cross of contagion. Mm-hmm. What can you tell me about incarnation crosses? I guess that's a planetary thing, huh?
Yeah, the incarnation cross, and I think there's 196 of them, so I don't know them all by heart, but there's a beautiful book, I think it's called The Book of Destinies by Chetan Parkin, where he goes into each one of them and has a really beautiful, empowering description. So that is your incarnation cross, and a lot of people in human design will say that that's your main purpose here during this lifetime. It's a combination of four of your gates in your chart, and they are your conscious sun, your conscious earth, and unconscious sun and unconscious earth, which are the top four gates in your chart, two on the right, two on the left, if you're looking at the at your chart visually. So the combination of them and which placement each of the gates are in, they determine the way that your incarnation cross is made up of. So what this means is kind of like what you are known for and recognized for, without trying much, because those are energies that are because of being the sun gates and sun. If you're thinking about what your sun sign is in astrology, that's kind of like a lot of what you shine out into the world, like the sun, right? So for me, my incarnation cross is the right angle cross of consciousness number two. So a lot of people will have these experiences around me because of how I'm using my energy and naturally just using these gifts that I didn't have to do much for, that are just there, and just my energy, that they're having shifts of consciousness really easily, or change, you know, changes of awareness of or understanding big concepts in a different way very easily, or having downloads. But for me, it also means that for me, consciousness is like one of my favorite things to work with, right? So it kind of goes both ways, but it's really interesting and important to understand, like, what is the main, like, overall energy of your chart? So if it was a book, that would probably be your cover.
Okay. So the incarnation cross is the book cover.
Well, that just came through. I wouldn't say, maybe it's not what other people would say, but it's kind of like, I think it's a good analogy too.
Okay. I like it. So I'm looking at these different, the overlay on a chart, it almost, you know, it's like different energy centers or organs, like your crown, your head, your throat, your sacral, you know, and the root, which is the bottom. In yoga, we call it the Mula Bandha. Mm. But so I'm looking at this thing, and I've got some of my centers lit up, including my spleen. So I'm a splenic projector. So the within the different categories, they divide further into, so there's different kinds of projectors, and then there's these energy centers have numbers on them, and some of them are highlighted and connect to the other centers. So it's kind of a map of how your design. So, but when these numbers are highlighted, what do you call that, and the pathways that connect the different centers? Like, how do you read into that?
Yeah, so this is a great question, because your chart has 9 centers, and these centers are roughly connected to the chakras, but the chakra system only has 7 centers. So in human design, the diamond in the middle of your chest, the G center, and the little triangle to the right of it, the will center, they make up the heart chakra. And then the triangles on the very left and very right, the emotional solar plexus and the spleen together, they make the solar plexus chakra. So that kind of works together in that way. And then everything you have colored in your chart, whether that's a center or whether that's a line or half a line. So the half line, when just one number is colored in, we call that a gate or a hanging gate. You have that defined. And when two gates connect from one center to the other, that creates a channel. And having a channel makes each of the gates on both ends defined. So that's how you end up with colored in centers versus not colored in centers. And how you can roughly see this is everywhere where you have color in your chart, where you have something defined, whether it's a gate, a channel, or a center, you are kind of radiating that energy out like a, how do you call them? Like a tower, information tower, like a cell tower. And everywhere where you're white in your chart or undefined, you're taking energy in, you have it free, you have it open to take energy in, amplify it, sample it, and process it. So everywhere where you're white in your gate, you have the opportunity to create wisdom. And some people call also the undefined centers your God centers, because you have unlimited potential there of like creating wisdom. But it's usually not what you get recognized or known for, because that's not what you radiate out into the world, because you don't have it activated. Does that answer your question?
Sure. And that was good. And you can activate some of these unactivated centers just by hanging out with the right person or people, which is where the using this for team building and business makes sense.
Yeah, and where, you know, sometimes, for example, when you look at a chart, like a connection chart, even for two people, if you have a partner, for example, or you're looking into someone, if they might be a partner for you that you want to hang out with, you can pull a connection chart in some of the softwares, and you will see, like, when you lay both of your charts on top of each other, basically what gets defined. And there's no wrong or right, it's just an awareness, right? So for example, with my partner, we have, in traditional human design, we have seven centers defined together. In quantum human design, in cosmic human design, which is a different way of calculating that is not as well known, but that uses real-time astrology, we have nine centers defined together. So oftentimes, and I've had another few experiences in my life where I've met people where it just feels like when you're together and you're talking, it feels like you're whole. And then in retrospect, and this is like a weird thing to say, right? Because we're whole as we are, but it just is this feeling of, oh my God, I feel completely whole with this person. And then you look at the chart and, oh my God, we have nine centers defined together, right? As opposed to with someone where you have two or three centers defined together, that can also make for really interesting interactions, but it might be a lot less variable or a lot less full. It might just be more that you can talk to them mostly about one thing, and then other areas you just don't feel so connected, if that makes sense.
So how can a projector strike a balance between waiting for the invitation and going after their dreams?
Well, basically by finding their own dreams within themselves right now. So while a projector is waiting for the invitation, they're not meant to hang around and be bored, right? You're meant to fill your life with what's meaningful for you now and what makes you feel successful without anyone else around, right? You want to make your success and your recognition not dependent on anything else in the external world, but how can you make yourself so full of life and enjoyment and play and self-recognition right now that the outer world can't not invite you? That's basically the recipe.
Yeah, so this is like a game of building your aura up to be the most magnetic possible.
Exactly.
Yes. So what do you offer projectors?
What do I offer? Well, that depends on the month that you're listening to this, but I basically offer them support in building their business in line with their chart so that they know exactly how to operate and how to build their offers in the most magnetic way that, like we talked about, depending on what you have defined in your chart and what your profile is, and there's a lot of other variables, how to use all of that knowledge in order to set your business up so that it's just easy, right? Because so many of us are pushing through things that we don't want to work in ways that we don't want to work, or too many hours, or things that we're not fully behind. So I'm helping basically projector entrepreneurs to understand their charts better so they can use that knowledge in all aspects of their business. And then I also help them with their energetics and how to become more magnetic through, like you're saying, like making the aura more magnetic. But what does that mean, right? So For example, a big piece for us projectors is the bitterness. So where can we find old and crusty, long-term build-up bitterness that we have for life, for people, for situations, that's really keeping a person from being magnetic and going and shining their light out into the world, right? That's a big piece. Or self-value, self-worth, self-recognition, like how can you value yourself more so that others automatically value yourself more as well, right? And then the third piece of the columns or the trifecta that I like to use is then the transformational marketing or magnetic marketing, where you really just, you become this space and you talk about your business or your offers in a way that is so strong and magnetic that people just want to invite you because they're already getting a sampling of your way of guidance and how you help people through your marketing. So that's basically the trifecta of what I help people with, projectors specifically.
Nice. And you have a link tree that we'll put in the notes, and offer a free ebook for someone that wants to dip a toe in the water.
Yeah, that's a good point. My ebook is a great starting point, especially when it comes to how we do marketing different as projectors. So it's called The Secrets of Online Marketing for Projectors or something like that. It's a long title, so I don't always memorize it, but it's been downloaded over 1,300 times at this point while I'm speaking, while we're doing this episode. And I've gotten a lot of amazing feedback, and my link tree is always updated with the current offers that are happening.
Right. And I'm also a member of your Facebook Projector Playground group, which I thought was cool marketing, by the way.
Which part did you like?
The playground. You know, it's like you call something a Facebook group, that's one thing, but you call it a playground, projector playground, you know, it's like, it's definitely like, woo, sounds a lot more fun.
Yeah, so, and the good thing is we're only letting projectors in there, so.
Yeah, it's all projectors.
No other types allowed.
So what other books do you recommend for this topic?
Well, if you're first just starting to get into human design, I really like Karen Curry Parker's books because they just give a very basic overview. But I also, it's just so hard nowadays because there are so many wonderful people out there teaching this stuff. And what resonates with one person might not resonate with another, right? So even browsing around on Instagram, like in human design content, might make you find someone who is really speaking to you that I might not have ever heard of, right? I know my friend Annalena Fuchs, she has studied with me originally, but she took it a lot further and now has her own human design school and human design certification. So she focuses a lot on generator types, and her school is called the Aligned Living Academy. There's just so many big other coaches like Jenna, Zoe comes to mind, even though I've never studied with her. Eden Carpenter is a wonderful human design teacher, but I've also never studied with her, but I've read a lot of her content. So, but for me, the language, like I said, of Karen Curry Parker's Quantum Human Design is what always resonated with me most. But there's just so much stuff out there, so many blogs, and I really just want to invite you, the listener, to just practice like tapping in with your intuition and just seeing what resonates, what doesn't resonate. And one word of caution that I would say is whatever makes you feel limited or small or blocked, or oh my god, now I don't know, like how can I do this, or they're making me go into a box too much, I would steer away from that kind of content because a lot of the original traditional human design can be a little bit culty or dogmatic, or you are not supposed to do this. This is a big no-no, right? Where the founder of human design, Ra, Uruhu, also has always stated that it's an experiment and everyone needs to live their own experiment. So that's what I want to invite you into, is just to start your own experiment with it. And what feels alive, what feels expansive, what feels encouraging and empowering, that's the type of content that I would follow.
Beautiful. So I know I asked you about a cookie for our listeners, and you said you don't do cookies or something like that. Like, did you come up with anything that we can offer them as kind of a funnel from the show to your playground?
Well, first of all, what I do want to invite you into is to download my my projector ebook that we just mentioned. But I also have another workshop, Projector Online Business Success. So I would love to give this to your audience, and I'll give you the link. And then there are some, when you sign up for either one of those, there's a sequence that follows, which has a couple more workshops that are usually paid. So that will be all yours.
Okay, well, I'm sure we'll take advantage of that, and appreciate you joining me today. It's been, I got 63 minutes on my recording, so I promise you and not more than an hour. Is there anything I'm missing that you want to say before we adjourn?
I feel like you did a wonderful job with your questions of keeping it really broad and helping people understand, but also getting specific more into projectors. So yeah, is there anything else that you would like to know?
I'm just building it brick by brick, you know, and I don't really know what the outcome is going to be yet, but I would love, you know, to work with you on that at some point.
I'll also send you the link for the Projector Business Success Pillars workshop for your listeners.
Okay.
And anything else that you need to get this episode fully rounded and beautiful and powerful out there, let me know. Awesome. I will send it out to my email list too. Maybe not exactly tomorrow, but like in the next few days.
Okay. All right. Well, it was a pleasure to speak with you, and thank you so much. And look forward to more projector playground activity.
Sounds good. And thank you so much for inviting me and having me.
My pleasure.
Have a nice day in Texas.
Okay. Bye. Okay, well, I hope you enjoyed Alex and this episode on how to discover the life you were born to live. You can check out her link tree in the notes, and it's got all her links. She gave us a gift of a course for listeners. Check that out. And also have some resources that she listed, links to that, and a bookshop with the book she recommended. So I hope you use the information to benefit yourself and live a better life and become the best you. And that's my goal, is to provide different systems that will basically improve our community and help us excel and become the best versions of ourselves. So love you. Thank you for listening. And if you have a sexy invitation for Alex,
go check out her link tree. And if you have a sexy invitation for me, remember projectors are waiting for the invitation. So we can't guide until we get one. So you can email me at baba@adbongo.io. Check out my Instagram, Golden Age Guide. And so put some links in the show notes and we'll talk soon. Have a good one.